Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we along with the church around the world celebrate the Sunday of the Holy Trinity. We do this each year, the Sunday after Pentecost, and on this day we recognize even more than usual one of the most important realities about God. He is three distinct persons, yet only one God. He is triune in nature, and no, it doesn't make sense if you think about it long enough. The three persons in one God, it doesn't make any more sense than the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, becoming fully human. The fullness of God embodied in the man Jesus. Think about that one for a minute. The fullness of God is in the man, yet he is still present everywhere because he's God. And God dies on the cross because Jesus is God. And a man rises from the dead because the man is God and God is not dominated by death. And now this man who is God, who died and rose again, comes to you under the form of bread and wine and feeds you with his divinely human flesh and blood. And he says to you, this is my body, this is my blood. No, this doesn't make sense in our minds. But as I like to say, if I only believe the things about God that I understand in my mind, then the God that I believe in can only be as smart as me. And that would be frightening. Martin Luther takes this a step further. He says, as it's printed in the Word from Martin Luther in your bulletin this week, I took a portion of that out of there, reading a portion of that. It says, if I do not understand how the persons are differentiated, that is, the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is enough for me that Holy Scriptures say this and call Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by name, as we see here in Matthew chapter 28. Luther says, if I could grasp this with my reason and senses, what need would there be for faith? Of what use is Scripture revealed by God through the Holy Spirit? If it's in my mind, I can understand all of this. He says, if I believe nothing but what I can comprehend by my reason, I must reject baptism, the sacrament of the altar, the word, grace, original sin, and everything. Reason understands none of these things. In our confirmation classes, and really it's not just there, but within Luther's small catechism, we are continually confessing what Luther rightly says, you know, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I certainly cannot, by my reason, my mind, or my strength, completely understand the fullness of the nature of Almighty God. Scripture says he is unsearchable. That was in our gradual that we spoke earlier. If I rely upon what is inside of me, my mind, my reason, my heart, my feelings, if I rely upon me, I will never know him. I certainly will never know the Father, because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 14. And if no one can know the Father except through Jesus, And I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but can only know him through the Holy Spirit, who calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts of word and sacrament. This all being true, then everything that I have in relation to God comes from outside of me. The Holy Spirit, he is the one who creates this faith in you, but he does it through outside means. Your faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who was born as a human to be the second Adam, who died as a sacrifice to take away the guilt of your sin, and who rose again so that death would be defeated for us all. This faith has been created in you by something outside of you. This past week at Vacation Bible School, Caleb the camel talked about this, and the kids thought it was hilarious because Caleb the camel referred to this as being something. You remember what he called it? Alien righteousness. The kids thought that was just very, very funny. Alien righteousness. And they all burst into laughter, as I knew they would. And I had to assure them that no, we're not talking about little green guys from outer space, aliens. It is alien. That is, it is foreign to you. It comes from outside of you. The dictionary definition of alien is that it's something that belongs to something else or someone else. Your righteousness does not well up from within. It belongs to someone else. The righteousness that you have comes from Christ. It's his that he has chosen to give to you. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel. St. Paul says faith comes by hearing the external word of God. It comes from outside of you. A few weeks ago, we read in Peter's first epistle, Peter says baptism now saves you. In baptism, the righteousness of Christ was placed upon you. That's why we place a white garment onto the infant when we baptize them, you know, to show that Christ has covered your sin. It is alien. It belongs to someone else. But Jesus has chosen to give this to you as a gift. This is why he gave the instructions he did to his disciples. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptize all the people and make them disciples. Give them the righteousness that comes from outside of them, the righteousness that comes from Christ for you. It is alien. It does not belong to you by nature. It has been given as a free gift. And each week as we gather to worship, to praise God, to receive his gifts of word and sacrament, how do we begin each week? We begin with a reminder of our baptism as we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the name into which we were baptized. This is the name of the living Almighty God. On this day, as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, we marvel at the unknowable nature of God. He is infinite. He is incomprehensible. Yet, he is here. And he knows you by name. And he has given you his name. In baptism, he chose to place his name on you. He chose to take away the guilt of your sin and place it on Jesus. And he chose to take the righteousness that belongs to him by nature, that is alien to you, and to cover you with it, to cover you with the righteousness of Christ. There have been many attempts to describe the almighty, infinite, eternal, living God. The Athanasian Creed, which we confessed earlier, is probably the most complete summary of who he is. But because it's so long, we usually only use it once a year. But the most clear description of God really is what he says about himself in his word. Scripture describes God as gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love for you. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son to take the guilt of your sin upon himself and to place his righteousness on you. You have what rightfully belongs to him. It is alien to you, but it has been given to you by a gracious and merciful, loving God who calls you by name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.